Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Welcome to another edition of our show, where today we're going to go behind the scenes, not necessarily in the recording process or in a studio, but go maybe to a desk, maybe find a tablet, find some scribblings of some very, very well-known songs that you know and love in gospel music. And you have to go to the Chattanooga, Tennessee area to find the guy behind the songs. His name is Phil Cross, and he's written countless hits in gospel music and songs that will live. And Phil joins me now. Hi, Phil. Welcome.
Hello. It's good to be with you, and thank you for the wonderful introduction.
Am I accurate to say Chattanooga, is that region, is a home to you?
I'm sitting here right now in downtown Chattanooga. My home is right in the middle of downtown.
Wow. Did you grow up there?
I sure did. I was born in Ringgold, Georgia, just about 15 minutes from here, and raised, though, in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Well, listen, I'm really excited to talk to you because I probably before I realized you were the prolific songwriter that you are, I fell in love with poet voices probably mid-late 90s or so. And then I got to meet David Jordan, who's become a friend, and I really respect his work and his time with you. And that particular project stands out in my mind. Was it Rhythm and Grace or Rhyme and?
It's called Rhythm and Rhyme.
Rhythm and Rhyme, and those songs, I mean, they live on and on and on in radio world. They're just great radio songs.
Thank you so much.
But let's go back to the beginning, okay? You were raised, as you said, in Chattanooga, and so tell me about music. Was it just a part of your life as any normal kid?
I would think so, except the normal kids were listening to the Beatles, and I was listening to the Blackwood Brothers. I love music as a child. My dad was a big quartet fan, and of course our church was, you know, the gospel type church that sung four part harmony and had a great choir. And so we just basically were raised on music, and in particular gospel music.
At what point did you realize, the songwriters always tell me, when it's inside it just has to come out, and it's not something you generally force. You just know when you got a good lyric. So when did that start happening in your brain, when you start figuring out you had something to say?
Well, I would say about early 20s, I felt a desire to write. I didn't have a gift at that point, but I certainly had a desire, and I started pursuing writing, and was privileged to have a wonderful mentor by the name of Elmer Cole, the writer of 10,000 Years and many other great gospel songs.
Yeah.
And so he spent a year with me just reviewing thoughts and snippets of songs and helping, giving me advice, very good advice. And about a year after that, I felt like the Lord gave me the gift to write. And I would say at that point I was around 24, 25.
Well, between songwriting and performing, which you do both now, at what point did you start performing?
About 1991.
And would that be with your group, Poet Voices?
Yes, it was, yeah. Yes.
And that's a cool name for, not only because you have the songwriting angle, but that's just a cool name, Poet Voices. Where'd you come up with that?
In the beginning, it was actually Poet Voices was going to be three writers who are singers.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not materialize, but what did materialize is we did have the name. We created the name Poet Voices. We thought it sounded a lot better than songwriter singers or songwriter voices. And so the name stuck with me, and I just stayed with it as we formed what materialized to be Poet Voices.
Phil Cross is our guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends, and he's the songwriter of so many songs that would probably blow you away. You'd probably say, whoa, I didn't realize he wrote that. And I bet probably one of the earliest and one of the most well-loved hits that you have written was The Cathedral's Champion of Love.
that was an early song, and it was and still is a tremendous blessing to know that God allowed me to write that. And it's just one of those songs that people are drawn to because it lifts up Christ, and it lifts up in an exciting way. And of course, the Cathedrals did such a wonderful job singing it, and Larry Goss did such a wonderful job arranging the song that it just seems like it just keeps on, it keeps ringing, sure. You know, through sure. the years.
Tell me about the television commercial that sort of sparked your thought process for that.
Well, I was watching a commercial for a boxing match that was coming up, a championship fight between Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvelous Marvin Hagler. And at that time, they were both middleweights, and neither one had ever been beaten. They were both undefeated. And they kept saying, the commercial went something like this, as I recall. It said, "There is a fight that must be fought. The world has to know the all-time undisputed, undefeated middleweight champion of the world." And as I kept listening to that commercial, and it was so effective, that I thought, you know, I know a fight that had to be fought. The world had to know the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. And so that's where the thought came from. And of course, it allowed me lyrically to do the metaphor of a champion and sure. how a champion would be described, but more so not a boxing champion, but how would the champion of love be introduced? And so it allowed me to take that lyric path, and it was about a 6-month process, but I think a song came out that really captured that, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? I'd like to introduce to you, in this corner, robed in white, stands a champion. And he is the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. And gentlemen, may I have your attention? I want to introduce to you, in this corner of the good and the right, stands a champion robed in white. His height exceeds the heavens, his weight outweighs the world, his reach reaches everywhere, his age is evermore. He is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one will ever take his crown away.
He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns. This king who wore their crown, and they gladly watched the champion going down. Here's the best part. I will never count him out, for I'm a witness of the day he arose to retain the title champion of love. And he is higher than the
Champion of Love, song written by Phil Cross. And Phil joins us today on Daniel Britt and Friends as we're going through and reliving some of these memories, some of these great songs he's written. I sort of wanted to wait and say this at the end of the program, but I can't help myself, Phil. All of your songs, not only are they just good songs, okay, and plenty of people have written good songs, but there's something about your stuff, and I'm not just saying it because I'm talking to you right now and nobody else is in the room, but I would say this in front of a group of people, you know, a group of songwriters. Your songs consistently, I guess, have that poetic nature to it where the Champion of Love, it paints that picture. It's not just good rhyme, but it's really making you think. And I know the song When I Get Carried Away, the play on words you do there, Jesus Built a Bridge. I could go on and on with the way you take and maybe put a twist to the phrase. Have you found that that's become sort of what you're known for?
I did not do that intentionally, as you know, to be known for that. I think it's just part of the gift God gave me was, first of all, I love the English language. I love the fact that certain words mean more than one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And certain phrases mean multiple things. And so it's out of my own love for English and my love for writing in general and using the language to be effective. I think that naturally comes into my songs. You know, songwriters put themselves totally into their songs. And not only their life experiences, but the things they love, the things they don't love, the things that they're most passionate about. I feel like that it's our job to go to the extremes. You know, things that we're kind of neutral on probably don't end up in our songs.
Sure.
But the things that we're passionate about on either end, the negative or the positive, those end up in our songs. And so I think that's what makes each songwriter have a unique signature, because they're actually putting their life into it, the music, and no two lives are exactly alike.
A number one song back in 89 was the Spear Family, Saved to the Uttermost. And again, I didn't realize you had written that song, but that's a very scriptural song. You want to talk about how that came about?
That's just kind of a funny story. The Spear Family took me out for a weekend of touring, and I rode the bus. I've never been on a tour bus like that and with a group like that. So I had a great weekend. At the end of the weekend, Brock Spear, in the lounge area of the bus, the front lounge area, he basically told me that the Spear Family sure needed a hit song, that they hadn't had a hit song for 10 years at that point. Their last hit was a song called What Sins Are You Talking About? And he just asked me to think and pray about getting a song that would have that kind of scripture, that kind of passion, and sort of that kind of rhythm, which was that 6-8 rhythm, mm-hmm. driving rhythm. And he asked me to write a song, and on Monday evening, I sat down at the piano and wrote Saved to the Uttermost. And I called Brock and sung it over the phone. And he hung up the phone. I called him back and sung it on the answering machine. And they recorded it, and it became a number one song for them.
I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. Yes, I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb.
Saved to the Uttermost, written by Phil Cross, and he's on our guest line today. Prolific songwriter. I'm looking at the credits. Miracle in Me by the Greens. That was back in the 80s as well, and one that is still very much loved. And then, of course, your song with Poet Voices, I Am Redeemed. That really hit because that was not only a song you wrote, but one that your group performed, what, 97 era? And yeah, sure. And in the recitation you do in there, I particularly love it when it's in a live setting and you get to, yes, you get to do that recitation and hear the saints of God rejoice at the lyric of that. Talk about I Am Redeemed.
I Am Redeemed is a song that took about 15 years from the time that I got the concept to the time that it came. I had thought that there needed to be a song that described redemption in a simple way, and it just took 15 years to get it. When I did receive it from the Lord, it just seemed like it all just rushed. You know, it came, the arrangement, the recitation, everything just kind of flowed, you know, and seems like maybe I was uniquely had lived a life that would allow me to write I Am Redeemed. When I was a kid growing up, I had a lot of nicknames. I was what you would call, I guess, the ugly kid at school. And I had a lot of nicknames. I had red hair, freckles, buck teeth. I wore glasses and I was skinny. And so I had a lot of nicknames. I had names like Carrot Top, Flame, Freckles, Gopher, Four Eyes, Slim, and String Bean. And many times I would even say, you know, I would even say to myself, I'm Gopher. I'm Carrot Top. I'm Freckles. But the greatest thing that ever happened in my life is when God took out a pen in heaven, opened up a book, and he put my name in a book.
Yeah.
And from that moment forward, I'm not Carrot Top, Flame, Freckles, Gopher, Four Eyes, Slim, String Bean. I'm not any of that. Even those things I called myself.
Yeah.
I'm redeemed. I'm set free from the world system. I don't have to worry about, you know, the way the world looks at me. All I have to do is be concerned about the way God looks at me. He calls me an overcomer. Mm-hmm. He calls me one of his children. I'm adopted into his family. I'm royalty. I don't have to walk around like a turkey. I can fly like an eagle. And it's all because of God's grace, nothing that I've done.
Sure.
But it's all because of God's grace and mercy that I'm redeemed.
And on this project that we're featuring a lot of these songs from, it's called Phil Cross, The First 25 Years. You had the Booth Brothers go in and recut this. It's I Am Redeemed by the Booth Brothers. You're hearing it right now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
I was a slave in a foreign land, so very far from the Father's loving hand. He rescued me on a glorious day. He brought me out, paid a debt I could not pay. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. Still I live in a foreign land, but now I'm free according to redemption's plan. Song that holy angels sing.
some glorious morning, they will come from all nations, from every generation. Side by side, they will march into the celestial city of Jehovah. And in perfect harmony, they will begin humming a new song, a song written by God Himself and arranged for all of His children. And as the saved by grace approach this land of their dreams, the host of heaven will step aside. Even the angels will be silent, for they cannot sing this new song. For this song is reserved for voices that once cried out for a Redeemer, those who are washed in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Cross is our guest today, the writer of that song and countless others. Matter of fact, there's 21 songs on this project. It looks like, 20 of which written by Phil. You've got Amazing Grace. Is that the traditional Amazing Grace?
It's a song that Amazing Grace I wanted to do because I have Mom and Dad still with me.
Yeah.
And Amazing Grace is the greatest song ever written. And so I wanted the greatest two people I know to sing with me. So Mom and Dad are singing the first verse of Amazing Grace, and it was just kind of a tribute to songwriting as a whole.
Hmm.
If I'm going to do a songwriting tribute project, I want to pay tribute to songwriting in general. And the way that we were able to do that is to sing Amazing Grace.
Yeah. Which you did not write.
No, John Newton wrote that, and some people have said I wrote Amazing Grace.
Yeah, well, you wish you'd written Amazing Grace. Phil, you'd be a very, very rich man today.
It would be a good thing, wouldn't it?
It would be. Hey, and while you're talking about family, talk to me about Carolyn. Her name is on here a lot in a lot of these songs that you've written.
Yeah, Carolyn is a sister. She's an incredible writer, an incredible talent, probably the best music writer that I've ever heard in my life. And in those early years, we certainly wrote a lot of songs together.
I'm looking at one here that Poet Voices released in 99. It's One Holy Lamb. And
yes.
And on this new project where a lot of your songs are highlighted and a lot of them have been re-recorded by different artists, you brought in Terry Franklin for this one. Why Terry?
Well, Terry is probably one of my favorite singers. And
yeah.
Terry now sings with his wife, Barbie, and they have a church ministry. But,
yeah.
Of course, Terry was with the vocal band, the Gaither Vocal Band, for many years. And Terry currently serves writers in gospel music by doing demos.
Mm-hmm.
And he does all four parts on a lot of demos. And I just wanted, first of all, because our friendship goes way back, probably 25 years, it was a natural. But then secondly, I just wanted people to hear his voice as he did all the parts and let me do a little bit on there too. And it was just a neat experience.
Untormented, a shepherd cries, another spotless lamb must die. Oh, how could just one sacrifice our God Jehovah satisfy? Year after year the blood would flow,
sin away. One sacrifice paid a price I could not pay. One holy lamb, one great I am, one seed of Abraham.
One holy lamb washed my sin.
Cross is our guest today. He is a great songwriter and communicator, and we're listening to a lot of his songs. By the way, many of these songs are available on the project Phil Cross, Gospel Songwriter, the First 25 Years, and a lot of Phil's friends have come out to really pay tribute to his efforts through the years and top songs on this, I'm telling you. And again, 20 of Phil's songs, one is Amazing Grace, a good way to wrap up the album with probably the best loved, best known gospel song of all time. And so that's the topping on the icing on the cake there. Phil, talk to me about the Hoppers song, Yes I Am. This was a more recent cut about 8 years ago, I guess, year 2000. And I know the story, but tell me the story of how this came about. Very, very last minute, almost rushed, I guess.
Yeah, I was in my home and Dean Hopper called me and he described that a song that the Hoppers were needing, and he went through the whole thing. He said, "Man, we're recording, and we need one song. We're one song short. We need a happy heaven song, a song that would sort of complement Shouting Time, and be a song that would follow up that kind of energy that came from that song." And so he described the song, and I said, "Man, that's great. I'd love an opportunity to write something like that." And I said, "When do you need it?" He said, "Today."
Yeah.
And they were in the studio in Nashville doing charts and doing the first rhythm section, which is the first step of recording. And and I said, "Well, Dean, I haven't even eaten breakfast this morning. So, I tell you what, I can kind of spend a little time focusing on this. So I'll go get breakfast and, you pray and ask the family to pray and I'll try to get a song." And, so on my way to get a sausage egg biscuit, I started thinking about what he said and the kind of song he said. I started humming and started tapping out a rhythm for a song. And by the time I got back home, I had Yes I Am written. And so I sat down at the piano, worked out the chords, and called Dean up and sung it to him. He said, man, that's what we're looking for. And I said, well, I can't come to Nashville to show it to you, so how are you going to get it? And so a similar story that had happened before with the Spear family, he said, you know, I'm going to hang up this phone and you call and sing it on the answer machine at the studio. And so that's what I did, and the musicians took that a cappella singing. Actually, I played the, I think I remember playing the piano. So I played the piano and sung it.
Yeah.
And so they took that rough recording on an answer machine, charted it, and the Hoppers recorded it, and it became a number one song. And when I tell that story, inevitably I always tell people I think I need to go get another sausage egg biscuit. I'm feeling the inspiration.
Oh, that's good.
It is settled, I am certain in my heart and in my mind. I will pass the glory curtain and I'll leave the world behind. I will stand with the immortal with a happy lamp in view. Then I'll journey through the portals down to Golden Avenue. I'm gonna leave some glorious morning, yes I am, yes I am. I'm gonna cross that chilly Jordan, yes I am, yes I am. Though the water is deep and the river is wide, I'm gonna stand on the other side. I'm gonna live in heaven someday, yes I am, yes I am.
Station, listening closely for the call. I have made my reservation through the one who paid it all. Not by might, not by power, but in Christ alone. I'm leaving any moment. Praise the Lord, I'm going home.
Well, I'm gonna leave some glorious morning. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna cross that chilly Jordan. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Though the water is deep and the river is wide, I'm gonna stand on the other side. I'm gonna live in heaven someday. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna leave some glorious morning. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna cross that chilly Jordan. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Stand on the other side. I'm gonna live in the heaven someday. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna leave some glorious morning. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna cross the chilly Jordan. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Though the water is deep and the river is wide, I'm gonna stand on the other side.
And again, this is Phil Cross on Daniel Britt and Friends. We're talking to him. A lot of these stories behind the songs are how they came about. I have to say, this is probably, and it's a fast, upbeat song, but I love it. It's probably one of my favorites that you've ever written. It's When I Get Carried Away. I know Ivan Parker has performed it, but before that, Gold City had it, 1987. And this is just a fun song where every line just about takes a word, and then by the end of the sentence, it's taken the word the second time and put a twist on it. And again, I mentioned that earlier in our discussion. I love the way you do that. So give me the scoop on When I Get Carried Away.
Well, it's a shy kid, you know, growing up, a shy kid.
Yeah.
Sometimes having a tough time expressing my emotions. Sometimes when I'm excited, people don't know I'm excited. No. Sometimes when I'm sad, people don't know I'm sad.
Yeah.
It's a shy kid wanting to say, you know, there's coming a time when I'm not going to have a problem with this shyness. Mm-hmm. And this introverted spirit is going to be set free. And that time is when I see Jesus. And I just thought, you know, the old country term, man, they just got carried away.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought, well, there it is. One day I'm going to get carried away when he comes and carries me away.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, there it is. I'm just going to take the English language and I'm going to find statements like get beside myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have the time of my life. I'm going to take those kind of, and so that's what I did. I wrote down statements that mean, you know, losing your emotion and being set free. And I wrote down all those statements, and I twisted all of them, you know, and turned the phrases on all of them. And that made the chorus. And so by that time, when the chorus was written, it was just kind of, you know, elementary then to introduce the thought and then to apply the thought in the second verse. So just a fun little exercise in the English language, but more so, you know, just getting to describe something that the half has not been told and getting to somehow describe a little bit about the way we're going to feel when we see the Lord.
Well, a fun English semantic exercise maybe, but one that took it to number one in 1987. Gold City had the hit, When I Get Carried Away. And by the way, these songs are available from Phil Cross, Gospel Songwriter, the first 25 years. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of this for your library. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
It may sound like thunder. My tearful eyes may fill the skies until it looks like rain. When I leave this world, past the gates of pearl, and stand before my Savior, I'll let my soul let the glory roar, and from the roar.
Time.
This is Daniel Britton Friends with my guest today, Phil Cross, and not only of Poet Voices, not only the songwriter, but Phil, I want to get a clarification. I've seen in some places Phil Cross and Crossing versus Poet Voices. You want to explain the difference?
The difference is that I've been ministering actually with my wife, Rebecca, and Paula Stefanovich, and we've been ministering for quite a long time under the radar in churches, doing weekends in churches where we come in and do music revivals in churches and work with their choir, work with their singers, and work with their praise teams, etc. And we do an inspiring weekend in that ministry. What we have come to conclude is that ministry also probably needs to be expanded, and to not only do weekends in churches, but to do some concert weekends as well. So we've decided to expand that ministry. God's blessing it, and we're going to let that grow a little bit next year, especially. It's a pretty powerful team with Paula Stefanovich, the writer of Jerusalem and Yahweh, and put her with me. She's a wonderful singer, wonderful piano player, incredibly anointed artist. And then it's just really a treat for me to be able to have my dear wife next to me when we sing. And so we're just going to do more of that. We haven't been able to do that in recent years. My wife has been a caregiver for her mother and father. Mm. And of course, we consider that one of our greatest blessings. And but last year in October, her mother and father passed away, went home to be with the Lord, 3 weeks apart. And so the commitment, you know, that time of commitment is gone, and my wife can travel more, and we're going to. And so we're going to work as a family team, and of course with our dear friend Paula Stefanovich.
And you've done songwriting seminars through the year, and yourself excluded. Would you say that right now, with the young writers we have, that the field is plenty?
Oh, I think now we have more great songs than we've ever had.
Yeah.
There's been times in gospel music that I felt like we didn't have a lot of quality songs. This is not the case now. There's a lot of great writers, a lot of great songs, and there should be no excuse for any artist to not have great songs. It's just there's so much going on. I'm very proud. I'm very excited about that. And of course, I love seeing those like Kyla Rowlands and Diane Wilkinson and Squire and Ronnie Henson. I love seeing those kind of people still writing and doing well. And I love seeing these kids come along that are, you know, Scott Inman doing a great job, Joseph Habedank doing a great job.
Yeah.
I'm loving seeing these kids. Rebecca Peck is not, is another one of these great writers. Chris Binion. There's just so many to name.
Sure.
I'm going to leave somebody out.
So. Sure.
You know, and Barbara Huffman's doing great. I just like seeing, people write great songs, and I'm a big fan of the writers and the songs.
Obviously, the gospel message is timeless, and it never changes. It the gospel message itself stays the same, but the sound of the music we listen to changes. We hear more progressive as time goes on. We call it progressive. We just hear a little bit different interpretation of what Southern gospel, from what it was back in the 40s to what it was in the 60s, and now what it is through the 80s and 90s and into 2000, where we've got this fresh sound. So my question is, even though the message doesn't change, do you find it that the style of the Southern gospel song, or the style that modern day Southern gospel fans like, does that affect the way you write a song? I mean, as far as putting the lyrics in line with a melody?
I don't think so. I think it lets me know there's some freedom. But I've always, from the beginning of my writing, I've written what I feel in my spirit. When Champion of Love came out, it was controversial in some ways because it never mentioned God, never mentioned Jesus by name.
Yeah.
Now, it described God the Son, but it never mentioned Jesus or God in any of the lyric.
Yeah.
But it was the way I felt led to write the song. Some would have considered it, you know, not the right thing to do. But if anything, today we have more freedom to be more creative and to allow ourselves to be the creative person that a creative God created. And it just gives us more freedom. I'm glad to see it. It doesn't bother me. I can tell you this, I'm not into style.
Yeah.
I'm into Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's the message that's the value. And the style is a matter of just music, you know, and there's a lot of styles. Think about all the styles that we have access to of all the music that's ever been done, you know, from traditional sacred music to contemporary music, to rock and roll, jazz, country, rhythm and blues, all the different styles of music that we have access to. One of the things that I personally celebrate about Southern gospel music is it's the most diverse music on planet Earth.
Yeah.
In Southern gospel music, you can use a lot of different styles and still be accepted. You can be a young artist, or you can be in your 80s and still have a vibrant, powerful, effective ministry. You can be of any color. You can be from any nation. You can have one person standing on a stage, or you can have a choir of people standing on the stage. So, you know, we have the most diverse music on the planet. I would challenge anybody from any genre to give me any other genre that has more diversity and celebrates that than Southern gospel music.
And because of that, it's a wonderful bridge builder. To bridge the divides between those styles, because we can all come together and point to Jesus. And speaking of bridges, the song that you wrote, and we'll probably close out with this. This is a great, great song. Poet Voices did this. Jesus Built a Bridge. And again, this is using creative license, I guess, or a creative thought process to put this all together in the way you look at the literal cross that Jesus hung on. You want to talk about the beginning of that song?
Well, I think a lot of things you write out of your own convictions. One of the convictions I have is that we didn't have to wait for him to come out of the tomb for the victory. It has been preached and taught before that the victory was won in the tomb. The tomb was never opened up to let God get out. The tomb was opened up to let us see that he could overcome death and the grave. So the tomb was not opened up for him to get out. It was for us to get in. And so the victory was not at the tomb. That was just a manifestation of the victory that had already been won. Yeah. The victory was won when he cried, "It is finished."
Yeah. Yeah.
When he cried, "It is finished," it was finished. There was nothing else that had to be done. He conquered everything when he cried out, "It is finished." And so I wanted to write a song, first of all, that would let everybody know the greatest thing ever done was done on the cross. And I wanted to do it in such a simple term that the children could understand Calvary. And so the way I thought that would be best would be to describe it as a carpenter and use carpenter terms. Jesus, it was and is the master builder. He's the master carpenter. And also, he's the cornerstone. There are many, many biblical metaphors that have already described him as a carpenter. And so the simple way to do that was to take wood, nails, hammer, take those simple things that a carpenter uses, and described that Jesus built the greatest thing ever built with just a few carpenter tools, wood, nails, of course, the Roman hammer. And with that, Jesus built a bridge that reaches from earth to heaven and gives us access to heaven and all that heaven is and all that heaven will be. We already have it because Jesus built a bridge.
One day they nailed a carpenter to a rugged tree, thinking he would never build again. There they held him, threw his hands and feet. Still he carried out a master plan. Jesus built
has been our guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends, and the songs are timeless. They're profound. They're very, very creative, and you find that all in the one songwriter, Phil Cross. And keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep writing the songs, keep singing, and keep working with the churches. You are an inspiration to so many through your songs that live on and on and on. And we so appreciate the time you've taken with us today, Phil. How can people get in touch with you or get the music?
I've really placed everything now. The focal point of all my outreach is philcrossmusic.com. And you can find out everything that's going on, everything that I'm working it with. Of course, there still is boydvoices.com. People can go there. But it, honestly, I would anticipate that most of that's going to all be consolidated into Phil Cross Music. And so that's there, and it's easy access. It's there's a lot of information there, a lot of ways to get involved, and our team, especially to get involved in our prayer team and our partnering team worldwide.
That's at philcrossmusic.com. Phil, thanks for taking time for us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. It's been an honor. It's been a fun time to share and to reminisce and to look forward to better days.
And that's Phil Cross. You've got to know his heart a little bit more today and the stories behind these songs. And thanks for joining me today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
You've been listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel, Britt, and Friends.